You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, to celebrate. He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, saints of God. This is Tom, and coming to you live today, and it is time to wake up. Me included. I always include myself into that. Lord, just keep me awake, keep me focused. I think I've been having a little trouble with that lately, and I don't know if any of you have. I sure have. I was going to play a song today, a couple of songs, because I like praise and worship. The second song, the worship song. The first song is I played it last week. I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton. I think she's was very, very, very gifted. All the comments that I've seen, advertisements of her, are, they were interviewing her. She's just full of laughter. She was fun to be around from what I hear. And the gentleman that was supposed to be on with me today, Art, he was going to come in. But anyway, he met Dolly Parton. I was going to ask him this morning he thought she was very funny. A lively person, yet gifted, very humble. And you don't find too many people that become very successful that are humble and reaching out to the community and doing things to help people and giving her money away. And just a remarkable, remarkable person that the whole world, not just our nation, but the whole world is mourning. What a great loss. And Dolly, we thank the Lord for all that she's done here on the earth, the many people she's helped. We all will always love you.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I think of you each step of the way. And I will always love you. I will always love you.
Bittersweet memories, that is all I am taking with me.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I think of you each step of the way.
this, I wish you love.
Song is about being falling deeper in love with Jesus like never before. Draw closer to him and he will draw closer to you.
Sitting at your feet is where I want to be. I'm home when I am here with you. Ruined by your grace, by your gaze, I can't resist the tenderness in you. Thank you.
sing it from here.
Falling deeper in love with Jesus every day. You know, the word reminds us that we are to carry our cross daily. And I was sharing with Danny here at the studio this morning. You know, it's a crazy world we live in. And I was telling him, I said, it just seems like I that's why I look so forward to going to church, because you go to church, and I think you've heard me, you know, share this before, that it's so refreshing to go to church. And people that tell me they don't need church, they can worship God, you know, that's an excuse. You know, you become heartless. You don't learn the word of God. You don't draw closer to him. And oftentimes I wonder if people that say that, if they've ever given their life to Christ, it's just an excuse. All they want is my money. No, it isn't. No, it takes money to run a church. It takes money to run a ministry. And you know, we're told that much is given, much is required. Sow sparingly, the Bible said you reap sparingly. So I'm not going to get off into that today about money, but we are called to go to church because we are to, as the scriptures tell us, to assemble ourselves one to another. You go there to worship God, you know, and it's so peaceful to worship God in the presence of the believers. You know, it's just, there's such a peace there. And then also to hear the word of God. And, you know, I'm still learning. I don't know everything, you know, and I'm still learning. And to go there to hear the word, it's just, it's remarkable. It pierces the very inner being of my heart when I hear the word from Pastor Malcolm. And any of the pastors there at church, they're all very good. And, you know, they give all the glory and honor to Jesus. It's not about you, them. It's all about Jesus. When they speak, when they talk, when you meet with them, they so radiant, they so shine for Jesus. You can feel it, you can sense it, you know, they drip with humility, God's love, and they love his word. It's quite evident. And I'm telling you, when I go there, it's Calvary in Merritt Island, and there are a lot of great pastors, you know, but when I go there, I they capture my attention when they minister the word of God. It's like nothing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's not a sermon about prosperity, name it, claim it, you want it, you can have it. It's none about any of that, you know? They don't even mention money there. There's collection plates in the back and you give, you know, as the Lord tells you to give. So my message this morning is about doing good to all. And that's what we're supposed to do. Apostle Paul said that, I'm in chapter 6 of Galatians. Apostle Paul in the beginning of the church says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Now, we're not called to, you know, judge lest ye be judged. The Bible tells us, you know, take out the log out of your eye before you go to that other brother. And when you go to that other brother or sister, you better go there with a lot of God's grace and mercy and compassion on that person. Don't go there and point your finger at him, say, you shouldn't have done this. You know, we're not their Holy Spirit. We're to comfort them, like the word tells us, to restore him gently. And it also goes on to say, but watch yourself, or you should also may be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. Now, that's interesting. And I'm in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm into 2. It says, carry one another's burdens. Are you carrying someone's burdens? You know, are you just waking up and, you know, I was sharing with my business partner, what has happened to America? What's absolutely happened? I'm not here to be critical to America, the churches. I think I really feel in my heart, my program's called Wake Up, and we have to wake up for a reason. You know, you're not going to be here. You know, we're not going to be here. We're only here for a very short time. What are we doing with that time that he's given us? Are we reaching out? Are we carrying one another's burdens as a scripture, as Apostle Paul was trying to tell us to bear one another's burdens? I had one person come up to me years ago. And the story, I've shared it many times. There was a lady that had MS. And she saw me on Christian TV, and she called the TV station, and I don't know how many times a day she called them. She said, I want that man's number. And she kept calling and calling and calling. And the CEO of the Christian station called me and says, Tom, this girl's just not letting up. I said, well, give me your number, and I'll call her. To make a long story short, I went to visit her with my wife down in Sebastian. She lived in Barefoot Bay. And, she opened the door. She was in a wheelchair. She had MS. And she gave me a list of things she needed. And she said, I know you can help me. And when I left there, it was amazing. And driving back to Melbourne, my wife said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm not quite sure. I said, I need to give her to another ministry or to another organization. It's too big for me. And then my wife looked at me and said, but I thought you were the organization. Do something. And here I was like Jonah, seeing a need and then running the other way. And if you look at the book of Jonah, the first chapter, first verse, it said, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do with that? You know, here it says in Galatians, Apostle Paul is telling us, carry each other's burdens. Are you? Are you? What is the assignment that you're waking up this morning that the Lord's putting on your heart to do something for someone? You know, what is it? You know, there's something. It's just not a select few of people in ministry, either behind the pulpit, that are called. You're called as well. You're called as well to do something. We're not called to sit around, lay around. We're called to be productive. And the scriptures tell us, tarry till he comes. One of my workers has a sticker on his bumper that says, stay busy, Jesus is coming. Stay busy. Tarry till he comes. That's what the scriptures tell us. So what is it that you're called to do? You ask the Lord. The message this morning is doing good to all. And I don't see that going on in America. I don't even see that going on in my own neighborhood, you know? And I'm not being critical here this morning. I don't see it. You know, everyone comes in, they shut the door. It's amazing what I've been seeing lately. You know, for a couple of weeks, I had to be on a walker with my back surgery, and I had to do 2 miles a day. And walking with the walker, neighbors would just stare at me. None of them wrote down the window and said, and I'm not bad-mouthing my neighborhood. I love them. You know, God bless them. But what has happened to our hearts? What has actually happened to our heart? And it's a heart issue that we have in America. We want more things, more stuff, more of this. I think we've fallen deeper in love with not Jesus, but deeper in love with the things on this earth, and we're not supposed to. The scriptures tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Why are we always in the need of wanting this and becoming stingy too? You know, our nations are becoming stingy. We want something, we get it. But if you see a man that's in need, you turn your eye and go, as Mother Teresa said, you see, poverty is when you see someone that's in need, but you turn your eye, you close your eyes and turn the other way and go live as you wish. What in the world is happening to America? I see it in my own neighborhood. People just stare at me when I was on the walker. They wouldn't even, I spoke to a neighbor and she wouldn't even say anything to me. I was like, wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up, church. You know, it's not about us. It's about doing what Jesus has called us to do. What are you supposed to be doing? Carry one another's burdens. And when I was taking care of Veronica, and I didn't want to, and my wife said, well, I thought you were the organization. And it cost me thousands out of my ministry, thousands. And I'm not exaggerating. She needed medical care. She was getting some assistance, and I helped offset the rent and some nurses, and it wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, I went to 10 I don't know how many churches. It was quite a few to see if they would help me with Veronica. None of them would. I understand that churches have expenses and they have their own needs. I wasn't mad at any of them. But when I would tell people about helping me with Veronica, you know what they said? Put her in a nursing home. That was their attitude. Put her in a nursing home. She didn't want to go back in a nursing home. I even tried to encourage her to go back in the nursing home. And then a year later, I found out she was raped in the nursing home. And I thought, no wonder she doesn't want to go in the nursing home. You know, a male nurse got in bed and I don't need to go on about it. But she was didn't want to go back. And I had one person tell me, well, you know, she's a burden, and you'll be glad when she passes away. No, I wasn't glad when she passed away. You know, we are. What's happened to us that we can't carry one another's burdens? You know what? It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. And then we draw the line and say, God, nope, I'm not going to do it. Not going to help him, but it's going to cost me in my wallet. I'm going to tell you what, Dolly Parton didn't take anything with her, and you aren't either. You know? And this is something that America, the churches in America, we need to wake up. We need to actually wake up and do what Jesus said. Don't be just a hear the word and go to church and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, but you go home and you do nothing. You don't do anything. And if I'm talking to you, you need to hear what I'm saying. There's some of you out there, you've given up. You've given up. I see my neighborhood. They just gave up. They don't care for one another. That you go to a homeowners meeting and they're yelling at the officers who put arduous hours in my neighborhood, and they yell at them. And I tell you what, next homeowners meeting, and I'm an officer, I'm gonna ask that we open our meetings in prayer and ask them if they know Jesus. The bottom line, like J. Vernon McGee said, is the main thing is the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. We need to know Jesus. We need to, Apostle Paul said, John said, we must decrease that Jesus can increase. And I tell you what, if you aren't decreasing and you have a stinking attitude, you need to go before Jesus. And that's why it's so important to read the Word of God. And if you're not reading the Word of God, shame on you. And if you're not developing a quiet time, and I'm getting on Tom too, if you're not developing a quiet time, how are you ever going to get closer to Jesus? You know, we spend more time on stupid stuff and the internet, the websites, than we do with the Word of God or Jesus. You know, what has happened to us as a nation? What has happened to us as an individual? What are we doing with the gifts that God has blessed us with? Yes, Dolly she had an impact on this earth. Impact. Are you having an impact on this earth? Are you? You need to say, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And every day is a new day. I tell you, Jesus will have you helping this one and doing this. Just as the scriptures tell us, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be what? A doer of the word. And I'm wondering why we're not a doer. Why are we not a doer of the word? Why aren't we caring for the poor and the widows and the orphans? Why aren't we doing that? We just go to church, sing, and then we go home, close our door, and we close out the world. That's not how we're to live. We're to live to be a blessing. My mom, when she passed away in Louisville, Kentucky, at Jewish hospital, there's one thing my mom told me upon her death. She looked at me. She was in a lot of pain. She looked at me and said, you know, son, don't ever expect a blessing. Be a blessing. And I literally looked at my mom and I thought, I don't know what in the world she's saying. Don't expect blessings, son. Go be that blessing. And I'm encouraging you today. Don't expect blessings. You know, a lot of pastors now travel in the country. It's a bless me gospel. You know, you give God 20 and you'll get $200 back, or give $1,000 and God will dump $1,000,000 on you. That's not how the gospel works. The gospel in Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things shall be what? Added. You know, but we seem callous. We absolutely as a nation have gone callous. You know, our churches, do they even care? You know, and there's a lot of great pastors out there. There are a lot of great pastors, but we need to fall deeper in love with Jesus. And I think we've fallen in love with things. I think we've fallen in love with money. I think we've fallen in love with a lot of stuff, you know, and I just can't help it. That's what the Lord's put on my heart today. He's put that on my heart in Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burdens. What are you doing for Jesus? You're a Christian and you're called. And I believe everyone that's accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior has a call in their life. You may not be in ministry, which is okay, but you're called to do something. You're called to be a blessing to the neighbor to your left and to the right. I know that's difficult because I'm about ready to share Christ with most all of my neighbors. Everyone I'm going to be getting a hold of, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You know, But it's important that we carry one another's burdens. It's so important. And it says, and in the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, we have the opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I think some of you listening, I think you've given up. I think you've given up, you know? And I'm not here today to share a critical message or to be critical to anyone or anyone. But I'm here to encourage you to wake up. That's the purpose of me coming here every week. And I'm excited what I'm doing for Jesus. Again, be not just a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. And when you go to church and hear the pastor's heart and he's telling you, this is what Jesus would do. This is what Jesus, you know, let us just wake up. Let's just wake up to hear the essence of his heart. Let's bear one another's burdens and let us not give up. You may be disappointed. I've been a little discouraged lately. I've been looking around my neighborhood and my neighborhood's a symptom of what's going on in our country. Believe it or not, you know, they all are good at complaining. You know, but I'm going to be bold and share with each and every neighbor in my neighborhood. There's 46 people in there, and I'm going to share the gospel with each and every one of as I get an opportunity. Because what we need is Jesus. We don't need more stuff, more money, more things. We get more stuff when we want more stuff. We get more money and we want more money. You know, we just want. And that's, you know, Lord, can you minister to us, Father? Can you just minister to us what we're to be doing? Who were to help, Father? In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. My peace, he said, I give to you, not as the world gives. The world can give you a lot of stuff. You know, they can give you a lot of stuff. You can get a lot of stuff. That's not going to bring happiness. You get 1 million, you want 2 million. You get 2 million, you want 3 million. You get a Mercedes, you want a Rolls Royce. You know, you get a 10,000 square foot home, you want a 50,000 square foot home. We're never satisfied. The only thing that can satisfy us is Jesus. That's the one that can satisfy us, is coming to know the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I am, and that's Jesus. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. Do you have life? Are you just trying to get along and just day by day? You are called. Without a vision, the word says, my people perish. What is your vision? What is your vision? Getting a bigger home? And there's nothing wrong with a bigger home. I'm not against people having nice things. God wants you to have nice things. But I think sometimes I feel in my heart that Americans, we have fallen in love with things. You know, if you know a rich man, you can like a rich man because what he has. Or do you like him and want to become his friend? And I think we do that to Jesus. I think we want to know Jesus because, you know, what's in it for me? Jesus said, you know, the word says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, what are we after? The kingdom? Or are we after the king? You know, do we want to know him intimately? Do we want to fall deeper in love with Jesus? You know, Lord, help us. Help us on this journey in this life. Have us to stay focused. And just to be honest with you, my biggest problem is staying focused. My wife ministered to me, and I shared this last week. You know, that I'm looking at what people should be doing that they're not doing when I need to be doing, looking at my own life, doing what I'm not doing that I should be doing. Staying focused. Peace, he said, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, that's a sermon in itself. My peace I give to you. The world can, you know, it, sometimes I think material possessions are, is like a drug addict. You know, you give a drug addict a fix, he wants more. He wants more. He wants more. You know, when I was in Hawaii ministering years ago in the mission field, you know, I got lost in Hawaii, and I was on a bad end of town somewhere. I can't remember the city. And there's a bunch of drug addicts, and one drug addict came over and said, I'm trying to remember all of this. He said, brah, you want to buy some dope, brah? You want to buy some dope, brah? And I said, what? And he said, I got some stuff, brah. And that's how the pigeon Hawaiians, how he was talking. And I was trying to think of something. And I said, oh, I'm a dealer too. He said, what you got, brah? What you got, brah? And I said, well, what do you have? So he went over a list of things he was selling out in the street. And he said, come on. I said, what I got's more powerful than that. He said, come on, brah. Tell me what you have, brah. What do you have, brah? I said, I'm a dealer in God's word, and you need to get saved. You know what? I was telling that man, you need Jesus, buddy. You know, but let's not fall in love with things, not fall in love with money, you know, because you're not going to take it with you. You're not going to take any of this stuff with you. Dolly Parton didn't, but she left a legacy behind to help people. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do when our life is over? What are we going to do? We need to hear God's heartbeat. And if you ever get close enough to the Lord to hear his heart, years ago, they gave me 2 days to live. And I was dying. I was in a horrific auto accident. And I fell into viral pneumonia, which is deadly. I got very weak, very sick. And, you know, some of you, this is the first time that's ever happened in my life, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to hear the heartbeat of the Father. His heart beats people, 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 people. And that's what's important. He went to the cross and shed his precious blood that you and I might have life, and life more abundantly. And another thing, we have trouble in America. The word says in the last days, people are going to get easily offended. Be on guard against that, saints of God. Be on guard against that. We can be easily offended. You need to shake that off. And a lot of us struggle with, guess what? We need to forgive. We need to forgive, myself included. And I'm again trying to preach to Tom as well. You know that we need to learn to forgive. I need to forgive my neighborhood. They're good at griping when you come to a homeowners meeting. You know, they're good at griping, but what they need to be doing is reaching out. And I'm not being critical, and I don't mean to be. But I need to share Christ with them. It's time that, you know, if you don't know how to lead someone to Christ, there's some scriptures I shared, I think, last year. If you don't know how, you can write me, Tom Jones, at P.O. Box 412168, Melbourne, Florida, 32941, and I will give you the scriptures, how to minister effectively to the sinner. I really feel in my heart, you really got to know that person, become their friend, you know, and then have that opportunity in love, in his grace, share Christ with them. You know, don't browbeat them and say, you're a sinner, you need to repent. You know, you don't need to do that. You know, in the scriptures, it says, as a deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. Now, if you go up to the water and yell at that deer, what's going to happen? He's going to run away from you. And I think sometimes people run away from us because I think we can get kind of too religious, I guess, not go there with the right heart and the intentions of leading that person to Christ and not telling them they're a sinner. They know they're a sinner. Let's examine our own hearts on a daily basis. Lord, help me in my walk with you. As Pastor Malcolm said about a couple of weeks ago in his message, that we should be full of his love. We're so full of his love. Are you full of his love? Are you drawing closer to Jesus like never before? Are we holding on to things we shouldn't be holding on and wanting more stuff? I see America. Lord, help us. You know, we can't even talk in Congress or the Senate. We're mad and we're arguing. We're fighting. We're yelling. You know, Lord, help us. Help us find our way back to the cross. Help us to find our way back to you. You know, we're all called. You can't convince me that we're not. You know, again, you may not be called to the mission field. You may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be on the radio, but you're called to do something. You're called to be a blessing. And that's what my mom told me. And I didn't understand a word she was saying. I thought she's just off, you know, but she wasn't. We're here to not expect a blessing, but to be that blessing to the people that we meet, to the people we come in contact with. Again, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, chapter in Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, I remember clearly it's saying, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do with that? What are you doing with the word? When the Holy Spirit comes to you and moves you to do something, what are you going to do? Just think about it and study it and say, no, I'm not going to let it cost me anything. I'm not going to. It's not going to come. I draw the line, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us with that. Help us with that. You know, help us with our, I call it stinking thinking. And, you know, I know that's not spiritual, but I have trouble with my stinking thinking, and I have to go back to the cross. I really do. You know, Lord, help us with our daily walk with you. You know, the scriptures tell us if we draw near to him, he would draw nearer to you. So, Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us with, if we haven't forgiven someone, you know, if we haven't forgiven someone, we need to learn to forgive. It tells us we're to forgive 70 times 7. I know I'm kind of hopping around. That's, I believe, found in Matthew 18, 21, and 22. You know, and you know, 70 times 7, that's 490 times. Are you going to count how many times you've forgiven? That's an infinite amount of times. Just forgive them and let's move on, you know? And some of you won't let go of the past. Some of you are disappointed. Maybe some of you are just mad at Jesus because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. And you know, you're discouraged and you're mad. You're mad at your neighbor. I'm not mad at my neighbors. It's a symptom of our country. My neighbor, if you go in, it's a symptom of our country. And I'm going to boldly tell each and every one of them about Jesus when I have that opportunity. You know, I'm going to tell them. You know, because, you know, what do we put on this earth for? What do we absolutely put on this earth for? We all have a call. We all have a purpose. And what is your purpose? I'm not sure what your purpose is. You know, and we read in the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul said, and don't give up. Have some of you given up? Have some of you thrown in the towel? You just go to church and, you know, you do all the things. You go and you leave and you don't say hi to anyone. Say hi to the person in front. You don't know. They might have been discouraged. Maybe they're coming and they're seeking. Just love on them. Pat them on the back. Tell them welcome to the church. Introduce yourself to them. And that'd be a good start. Have you ever gone to a church and you have, you know, no one's ever, you just go in and you leave. No one's even said good morning. You know, well, you start doing that. You start exercising that. You know, good morning. It's great to see you here. You know, and also don't forget to tithe to your church. That's so very important is giving of the you know, too much is given. The Bible says much is required. You know, and don't forget to tithe. You know, because I meet people once in a while. And one time I met someone at the Publix, and I think they had about 50 lottery tickets, and they said, "Boy, if I win, I'm going to help the poor." You know what I thought? Are you helping the poor now? Are you helping the pastor? Are you helping the missionaries? Because if you're not, when you come into money, you're not going to. And I don't, you know, kind of agree with this lottery stuff. But you know, if we're faithful, he says, with a few things, he said, I'll make you ruler over many. So, you know, don't wait to hit the lottery or come into money. Because if you're not making it a lifestyle, if you're not making giving a lifestyle, giving of yourself especially, giving yourself daily to Christ, asking him to help you, you know, with Lord, help me with my mind. Help me. And I know this is not spiritual to say again, but help me with my stinking thinking, you know, because we as Christians, we can get off track. I know I have. Lord, get my mind back on you. That's why I shared this morning. Peace I give unto thee, found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives. We think if we get another big house, we're going to be happy. We think if we get another car, we're going to be happy. Those things don't bring happiness. If we get another $2 million, we're going to be really on top of the world. No, you won't. No, you won't. You just want more and more stuff. And I think that's what's happened in America. We're so saturated with things. And you look at the TV station, you got to have this Cadillac and the newest of this and the newest of this. And, you know, wow, you know, Lord, just let us learn to be content where we are, you know. And my business partner and I chatted a little bit and you know, we're to be content to whatever state we find ourselves in, because contentment is great gain. Are you content where you are today? Are you just wanting more stuff and more things and more money and counting everything? I had one person tell me one time, you know, a long time ago, years ago, he said, "Boy, I'm counting my investments every day." You know, I told him I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'd be thinking about how to give some of it away like Dolly Parton did. And she helped a town that had a fire, and she wrote checks out, and I think she ended up giving that town $10,000 each to each person there. Then the literacy program, she has books for children. That's because her father was illiterate. He couldn't read. And that's why she was so big into that, providing books to children to teach them how to read. And her life just was marvelous, the things that she would take the initiative to do. And are you taking the initiative to hear God's heart, to draw closer to Him? He doesn't need your money. He's not after that. He's not after your house. He's just after your heart. You know, He's after you. You know, I think we all just, including myself, every morning, Lord, help me. Help me on this walk with you. Help me to carry my cross daily and stay focused. You know, it's so easy. You know, you look on the internet and all this stuff and hear what everybody else is saying. I don't even have time for that. I really don't. It's not that I don't, respect people's opinion, but it goes too far from what my business partner tells me on the internet. This one's arguing. This one's down in this person. And this, I don't have time for that. If you're not encouraging one another, Hebrews 3:13 reminds us to encourage one another daily. Lord, help me with this, but I don't have time to write an article about someone and blast someone. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to love one another. You know, you may not agree with someone, but you don't have to post it all over the internet and blast that person. You know, if you don't have anything, I think I heard Dolly Parton say this one time, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, her mama told her, don't say it at all, you know? And my mother-in-law once said, you know, my late mother-in-law, she said, if you pick on your friends and pick them apart, you won't have any friends. You know, have we gotten a critical spirit? Well, you come to my homeowner association, man, they're, I've put arduous hours in my neighborhood, and I'm not tooting a horn or bragging, and had to meet the county, and there was a project that had to be done so my neighborhood didn't flood, and it almost did. And the hours that it cost me going back and forth to the county with engineers, and then they met and they said it'd be 3 years before they could spend $8 million to do this project. Took years. And had they not done that, and had we not spent the time with the county, when we had 32 inches of rain one year, it rained for 3 days here nonstop, my neighborhood would be totally underwater. And so if we don't take initiative, who's going to do it? If Jonah, look at it this way. You know, if Jonah did not go to Nineveh, which he did, he was jeopardizing 120,000 lives were at stake and in his hands until he got right. How many lives are in the palm of your hand are you jeopardizing? And I'm not trying to put guilt on any of you in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you, if you don't do, when you see someone and you see a need, if your pastor said the missionaries are coming into town, you give what you can. You keep supporting your pastors. You keep supporting the missionaries. You keep supporting ministries. But, you know, our love for things have increased. I heard Larry Burkett, a Christian financial advisor, years ago saying, and this was very sad, this is when I was on the radio on Saturdays. He passed away, I think, in 207, 208. Don't quote me on that one. I can't remember. One of his messages was on the saints of God that are passing away that took the Bible seriously and about their giving. He said they shook the earth with their giving. They got missionaries out. They helped the pastor. They helped the poor. They helped the widows. They helped the orphans. He said, if this trend of giving decreases because the generals are dying off that took the gospel serious, he said in the year 2010, it will take 20 Christians to give what the one Christian gave. And that's sad. Now we're in 2026, and I believe the giving is gone down. And because I think we have a love affair with things, so to speak, a love affair with money, that God, you know, we have to have a backup. You don't need a backup. Your backup is Jesus. And I don't want to be foolish here. I don't want you to think, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be. God wants us to plan. He wants us to prepare. Don't get me wrong. But also don't forget your giving, you know, and I'm not here to talk about money today, but also, if you see someone that needs help, you know, render some help to them. But, you know, don't have a critical spirit. You know, they didn't work. Let someone else help them. You know, that person over there needs something. Well, you know, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some money maybe, but just do it. You know, just do it. You know, to much is given. The Bible said much is required of you. Much is required. You know, if you sow sparingly, the word says, then you'll reap sparingly. You know, and we're to be cheerful givers too, to the work of God on this earth. So I just encourage you to draw closer to Jesus like never, never before. That you fall, as I played that song by Michael W. Smith, deep in love with him. My prayer for each and every one of you is not to come here and be critical to the church or America, but I think we're slipping, folks. I think our country's off track. Financially, we got a deficit over $40 trillion that I don't know how we're going to get out of. Where everyone's mad at everyone, you know. We have an anger issue. We have critical spirits that even I see that sometimes in the church. Pastor Malcolm once said, if you've been hurt in the church, which all of us have been, you know, he said, don't worry. There are plenty more to love on you here at the church, you know. So don't hold grudges, you know. Don't have a critical spirit. Just get rid of that. Have a funeral service and bury all that nonsense. You know, if you're mad at somebody, just say, I forgive you and move on. Bury it, you know. You know, if you've been hurt from the past, bury it. Bury the past. Because, you know, we've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed, you know. But don't get a critical spirit. You know, don't get into this having stinking thinking. And I get that way too. You know, my wife says, you know, quit worrying about what other people should be doing that they're not doing that they should be doing. Worry about what you should be doing that you're not doing. And that's a mouthful. That's a sermon in itself. You know, okay, Lord, keep me focused. Let me stay the course. Let me help wake some of your people up that are asleep. And I believe our nation's asleep. And not, they just have a love affair with things. And, you know, a love affair with things on this earth. We've become too materialistic. And I can thank a lot of evangelists for that. And I won't go there. You know, you can name it, claim it if you want it. You can have the home. You can have the car. You can have this. And, you know, we become like spoiled kids sometimes. And that's not how Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to fall deeper in love with him. You know, he wants us to fall deeper in love with him, not the things on this earth. You know, it's not wrong to have a nice home. You know, I'm around people that have nice homes, and I thank God for that. You know, keeps people working and builders building homes, and he wants you to have a nice home. He wants you to have a nice car, but don't fall in love with those things. Don't make him an idol. Make Jesus your idol. Well, my time's coming to an end. It's 9:53, and hope you enjoyed my message this morning. Carry each other's burdens. Don't forget that, saints of God. But first of all, I want you to draw closer and closer to Jesus. I want you to develop a prayer time in the morning or in the afternoon, and I want you to read the Word of God, you know, because if you don't, you're going to get off track. You're going to get off balance, and I mean that. You're going to get off balance. If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not praying every day, you know, you're going to be off balance. You're going to be in so right field, you know. The Word, you know, brings life. Jesus brings life. And the more that you study, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, and need not be ashamed. You know, Lord, help me read your word more. Help me, Lord, pray more. Help the listeners. Stir them up. Fire them up, Father God, that we can decrease. I believe John said we can decrease, to deny our flesh and our stinking thinking, that Jesus can increase in our life. That's my desire for each and every one of you, that you just won't be a hearer of the word. You know, a lot of religious people I'm around, you know, they can quote scripture better than I can. They know the Bible better than I can. But one thing they haven't done, they haven't taken the word from the head, which is 18 inches from the head to the heart. You can measure it. It's 18 inches from the head to the heart. Get that word from the head and get it into the heart, and you'll be doing what Jesus told you to be doing. You know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, bear one another's burdens and fall deeper in love with Jesus like never before. You'll never be the same. I guarantee you. You don't need to go after stuff. Stuff will come after you. Seek ye first. In Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things will be added. You don't need to worry about all this stuff. You know, we're not going to take anything with us. We're not. You know, my mom didn't. Just be a good steward to what God gives you. And be that blessing that he's called you to be. You know, if the pastor asks for a little bit more money, don't grumble at the pastor. You know? Love on your pastor. Love on the missionaries. Like, I love it when missionaries come to town, because I used to be a missionary and I love their stories, but they too need support. Ministries need support. And don't forget about the people in ministry as well. And I'm not saying that to manipulate you to give. I'm not. God's my provider. And and I'm on the radio, and I'm humbled to be on. And I am. I'm very humbled to be on. So thank you for listening. I pray the very best is yet to be to come for you, each and every one of you. I pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob upon your life, that you will never, never be the same from this day forward, that you stay focused, that you keep your eyes on him, that you do what Jesus would do, is bear one another's burdens, that you would be a light into the dark places that he sends you to, and may you never be the same. May I never be the same, because I need a tune-up too at times. My wife and the Lord and the Holy Spirit and my wife, really, they really helped me to be the person that I am today. I'm not perfect, you all, but Jesus has just ministered to me each and every day. Well, till next week, may God richly bless you again with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I leave you with a precious song for all of you.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.